Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for Get Yourself the Job this week. I keep talking to people about the show and saying we should reterm it Get Yourself or Find Your Life Purpose, because over the years, the show has really evolved. It started many years ago off with resume writing and interview tips, which are still equally as important. But as we're doing it on today's show with my guest and with many of the shows we've done lately, part of what I'm interested in is, what is our purpose? How do we connect to it? And, you know, of course, we all do need a job to pay the bills. But what if you could do a job that you love or have a career that brings you passion? So with that, I'm going to be very excited to introduce you to our guest here in a moment. And before I do, I want to thank our sponsors who make today's show possible. Markham Search LLC offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary services, contingency services, and executive search functions. So a huge thank you to Markham Search for making today's show possible. And a thank you to our guest, Elizabeth Rome, who is joining us today from Los Angeles. She is somebody who was connected to me actually right at the beginning of the epidemic via a mutual friend of ours. And Liz Rome has been featured as an actress on shows such as Law and Order. She was in the Academy-nominated films American Hustle and Joy, and was also the author of a book called Baby Steps. So thank you so much for joining us today, Liz.
So happy to be with you.
Yeah, this is amazing. It was about 3-4 months ago, almost exactly. I think it was right around March 9th that our mutual friend Goalie had connected us, and we were talking about, speaking of purpose, doing something to help people with mental health in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, I really love what you were saying to everybody about, you know, introducing the audacity of happiness. You know, it's audacious almost to say that I can be totally happy and I can reinvent myself and I can take ownership of my life. And I had oftentimes, you know, thought about that in regards to my career and different junctures of my career. I've always been an actress, but I ended up having a chapter where I wrote a book. And then around the time that we spoke, I had started a project called The Respect Talks. Mm. And again, exactly what you said to your followers, identifying what truly makes you happy is like capturing lightning in a bottle. It's like life force, you know? So instead of trying to live somebody else's version of happiness or somebody, or identifying with somebody that, you know, you are aspirational about, you have to really excavate your soul and find what makes you happy, because that lightning bottle is like, it's this life force that makes things happen. But it has to be real and it has to be authentic. You can't be chasing somebody else's dream. I don't think that works out. And when we talked, I had talked about wanting to do a mental health conversation as one of my talks for the Respect Talks, because I feel we all do suffer in silence and our mental health is always vulnerable. And we need to say it out loud and to each other. So I was sad that we had to cancel that due to the virus.
I think it was even going to be this week. I think we were going to do it even today or something like that.
I know. A bunch of them got canceled, but I am going to find a way to do it again with you. My thought is to do it as a Zoom, perhaps, because I do think that you're very inspiring, and to look at you connect with your audience in this way, it makes me feel that it's, I still feel hopeful that we can have deep conversation, even if we're not in the same room with each other.
I think that you are so right, Liz. I think that what we're all finding out is that we're not limited by the physicality of our being. And I say that because I was reading a book today from Dr. Joe Dispenza called Becoming Supernatural. And what I love is that science is actually finding out that we're so much more than our material space and our physicality. And when we get into the energy, I think that we've all had this time to pause and stop and reflect on what really matters to us. And especially in the last 2 weeks with what's happening, you know, of course, in Minneapolis and around the world, I think that we've also, after we had this long pause, everybody has had an opportunity to realize that there are voices that have not been heard. And what does my voice sound like? And is it okay to ask for what I want? And I think the answer is yes. Yes, it is okay to ask for what you want. And yes, we are seeing systemic changes around the world. And that's because people are discovering their truth. They're discovering who they authentically are. And you just sharing that, Liz, made me remember a story. Did you ever hear of the famous photographer Chase Jarvis?
Mm-mm. No.
He's the top commercial photographer in the world. And I met him at Sundance Film Festival many years ago. And I'll never forget Chase sharing his story with me, which later went into my book, Stop Hoping, Start Hunting. In his story, he shared, Jen, when I was a little kid, I loved more than anything to take pictures. Yet because my parents, you know, put me into athletics, I became a really good soccer player. And when I got to college, I got a scholarship to play soccer. But every time I would go out on the field, something was missing. I didn't have that thing, that lightning in a bottle, as you called it. And so Chase said about, before the end of his collegiate career in undergrad, he said to his parents, you know what? I'll make you proud. I'll become a doctor. That'll be what I'll do. And he started to do pre-med and go that direction. And after investing 5, 6, 7 years in undergrad and work, he realized, he said, you know what? I am not fulfilling my passion. What really lights me up is what I was doing when I was 4, 5, and 6 years old, which was taking pictures. And so he gave up. He was obviously a brilliant guy who could have easily been a doctor, very athletically able, and could have been a famous athlete. And he gave all that up and wound up becoming one of the most successful commercial photographers in the world.
Right. Well, it's sort of like what you said in regards to Minneapolis. And, you know, let's get right into some of these bigger things as well. I think that, I have many colleagues that are African-American, and the idea of saying a word, you know, saying this term white privilege seemed, you know, maybe 2 years ago, I didn't understand that quite to the degree that I do now. And I think we all do need to become comfortable with that terminology. And that it doesn't take away anything from us to acknowledge that it's actually just a fact. And I think there's tremendous growth in that. And I think, like you said, through this time of being at home and, you know, sort of hearing our own truth in the silence of what this is, like you said, you don't have to be around other people to discover who you are. You can have this moment of reflection and silence, even isolation, sheltering in place, all the terminology that goes along with being in this crisis of the coronavirus, but it's an opportunity to get to know yourself more. And I think that a lot of the systemic changes, the call for action, the civil rights movement that we're in is coming from us really not being able to deny ourselves anymore, whoever we are. You know, we're starting the conversation with career stuff, and I know that that's what a lot of this is about. So to go back to the point, you know, I think that we waste a lot of time living somebody else's dream, whether it's a childhood thing like this photographer you're referring to, or just not knowing ourselves enough. You know, we haven't done enough self-reflection or self-work to really know what gets our heart pumping. You know, what is our purpose? You started the conversation about saying this is about finding our purpose and the audacity of that. You know, you can be happy in this life, and you should go for that. And if you don't know yet what makes you happy, like John Lennon was asked, you know, as a child, that great quote, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, happy. And Beyonce did a great song where she sort of rips that off. She's a little girl in her class as a kid, and the teacher says, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she's like, happy. And the teacher's like, huh? You know, so I think that it is something we should aspire to. And I think we can find that true joy in our life. And a lot of it comes from, you know, pulling the masks off of pretending all the time, pretending to the people in our lives or ourselves, or even just collectively as a society. If we see things or feel things that don't feel right, they're not right.
And we can speak up about it. And, you know, I would love to know your story, Liz, because today is about you too. And I think that there are so many young people out there and people of all ages. I have a friend of mine in her 50s right now, and her dream is to become an actress. and to be able to be successful, to have had the success that you had on Law & Order and in these Academy Award nominated films, how do you persevere in an industry that is remarkably hard to get into?
Well, let me just start with, in my 20s, I had the same philosophy that we're talking about now. I remember when I was in college and I was thinking about pursuing acting, and I sat at home every Saturday night, not going to clubs and partying, but sitting at home writing letters to directors and producers who had made movies that inspired me to be an actor. For some reason, I've always felt very vigilant about telling myself the truth more than anything else. You know, my mother would say, don't lie to anybody else, but for God's sakes, don't lie to yourself. So I've always tried to really make sure that I'm pursuing things that I authentically care about. And at that time when I was writing those letters, I remember thinking that I'm like, do you really like that movie? Are you really, is this really why you're inspired to write this person that letter? And I got some great responses from the authenticity of my approaching those people, Kevin Costner, Paula Wagner, who's Tom Cruise's agent, Jim Sheridan, who directed My Left Foot. I've always thought your greatest like beacon of light is your authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. A kid comes to you and says, how can I become blah, blah, blah? And you go, well, just remember, you know, maintain what, you know, the things about you that make you different. Don't try to be like anybody else. You know, your magic is your differences, and not trying to fit in or follow in anybody else's footsteps. Like, make your own mark and keep your originality very close to your heart. And so, you know, I think that that's part of the process, is making sure you authentically love something, then doing the diligent work to draw the attention and the support from the universe or from people that could help you, and then really valuing yourself, having tremendous self-confidence and nurturing your self-confidence, because life is hard. We go through loss. We go through ups and downs financially. We go through moments when we're unemployed as actors and we could get very insecure. So be vigilant in your self-confidence. Work on that. You know, I love that you were saying you were reading that book, because what that says to me immediately about you is you're vigilant about taking care of yourself. You know, you're somebody who cares about your mind, your heart, your spirit, and keeping it positive. And so all of that, I think, those are very important traits for attracting success in any career. And as far as acting goes, I think especially the arts, you have to love what you do, because it does ebb and flow. There are many times that you're, one minute you're on a hot show getting nominated for an Emmy, you know, the next 2 years you don't work. So you do have to love it. You know, never be attracted by the fame or the fortune or any of that, because it's, I think being an artist is a long marathon. It's not a sprint. And the discomfort of the arts is something you have to have a love for it, or you won't sustain. It's just, it's too difficult. The lows are too difficult.
You know what I just got out of what you shared, Liz, and I love it, is that it's so easy to fall into a pleasing modality, especially with social media right now and how we're all living our lives online. Even right now, like we're doing with this show, people are out there. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I bumped up against with my own authenticity is, am I doing this because I'm seeking to take something? And I think this must be true. You'll have to share with me from an actor perspective. But if I'm giving a speech, or I'm hosting a show, am I looking to take energy from the audience, or am I looking to give something? And I think that when we're looking to take approval, pleasing energy, then it creates almost a barrier between yourself and whoever that audience might be, as opposed to what you're stating, which is to do something for the sheer joy of doing it. And I think from my experience, just being a movie goer, not an actor, is that it really comes through as you see somebody who it's their craft, it's their passion, and the joy just drips off the screen.
Yeah, you have to have a love of the game. You have to have a love of the game, because and I've always loved athletes for that sort of mentality. I think it's really applicable to all of our careers, but you have to love the process, you know, of the work. You know, right now we have a lot going on in this world, and it's overwhelming and causes all kinds of feelings. And the one feeling I've been having every day for months is, I can't wait to go back to work. I can't wait to go back to work, because it's like getting sucked into a vacuum of like stillness inside of you as you work out a character and perform it, because you sort of, you disappear, you know, you disappear for the process of making that movie. And then if you are on location and you've had to move into a hotel or some place you've never been, and you begin to build that character and you shoot, for those that don't know the schedule with movies, you shoot them sometimes 12, 14 hours a day. And it's just, you know, you sort of lose sight of the land. Martha Graham said, artists, they lose sight of the land, leap after leap. You know, we sort of immerse ourselves into the moment of what we're doing. And there's something it's a vacuum.
How do you choose what roles do you take? Is there a process that you go through?
You know, it depends. I obviously choose what I feel I'm right for, or I choose what I feel I have an emotional map for that character. But sometimes I choose characters that scare me so deeply because I have no idea how I'm going to portray them, but I just feel that I need to. Or a particular story, it just feels... You know, a perfect example. I just did a movie that I finished in March, and my producer called me and he said, I'm so happy to do another movie with you. He said, I'm a little scared for you. This is a really hard part. And I said, don't say that to me. I said, it's like telling me about like the whole meal. Like, I just want to go like bite by bite by bite and find my way through it. Because it was a really difficult character. The story of her life, a true life person, was based on her marriage that really suffered a lot of domestic abuse. So I was going to have to go through this journey of domestic abuse and then escaping and then becoming self, you know, aware. And then she became a leader for women, especially, who are trying to get out of their abusive homes and situations. So, you know, there was a journey, and of course that could have been overwhelming, but I just, you kind of think moment to moment, scene by scene, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's a really good analogy, Liz. And for anybody out there who's tuning in, it can seem scary sometimes. There are so many jobs or parts or roles in life that we don't feel ready for. And that role could be the role of a mother, a father, a wife, a husband. It could be the role of being your own boss. And I think that that's where our growth edge happens. Just like your character in the movie, she didn't know how to survive outside of an abusive relationship because she felt perhaps that she didn't deserve better. And how many of us can relate to that, though, that we feel we're not enough to be able to have the job, to be able to have a loved one who treats us with respect and kindness? Mm-hmm. And what would it take for all of us to realize that we're worth it and we deserve it? And so I think it's not just a one person or one situation thing. I think that story is applicable to all of our lives.
Well, because like you said, you know, we get overwhelmed very easily, and we have to remember, just put one foot in front of the other. You know, that great Martin Luther King quote, you know, if you can't run, walk, crawl, just keep going, keep moving forward. So if we're going to talk strategy in regards to careers, you know, really authentically identify what brings you joy. I think that's going to be very closely linked to what your purpose is. Mine is, you know, fearlessly telling the human narrative on behalf of other people, but ultimately it becomes my greatest gift because I get the reward in the end of being, of telling that human story, and it enriches my life. But we do it we tell stories on behalf of each other, whether it's a conversation like this or a movie where we portray characters that the audience identifies with and there's something cathartic about that, or it's a particular story from history and we need to tell that story because there are lessons in that story. But that's, you know, what film and art is for us to identify with the human experience. And so we identify what we love, and then we deal with our, you know, our confusion on if we deserve to be happy or not. And we work on our confidence so we know that we deserve to be happy. And then so we don't become so overwhelmed with the whole process of what it would take to achieve that happiness. We just every day put one foot in front of the other by creating tasks that are productive, you know, whatever that is for you, doing 10 things a day that are very productive for your goal and envisioning it and making it so. You know, I believe in the law of attraction.
Yeah, I love that. In fact, in my book, Stop Hoping, Start Hunting, A Job Seeker's Guide to Finding a Dream Job, I'm considering rewriting it during this period because so many millions and millions of people are out of work. And one of the things that I talk about is what's called a statement of intent. And what that looks like is you actually state what you want. It could be, in your case, your next movie. By December 31st, 2020, I've signed a deal for a starring role paying me $1 million or more, whatever that might look like. And then for a job seeker, there was actually a story that I shared in the book. There was a woman, it must have been, I think, November of 2012. It was still post the Great Recession. And this woman, I sat down at a Starbucks to meet about her job search. And she was bereft. She said, "Jennifer, I don't know what to do. You know, it's Thanksgiving and the holidays are coming up. I'm the breadwinner. I have two kids and I don't have a job." Yeah. And I said, "You know, I get that. I understand. But what if we could see this through a different lens?" And I walked her through it and I said, "When was the last time that you had the holidays to spend with your family, with your two kids and your husband?" And she said, "Oh, never. I've never had that." I said, "Great. So we know it's going to be a slow time already. What if we looked at this opportunity as a gift?" And the same for many actors and artists, where you go through those pauses in between, but you have certainty. And so I gave her the same exercise that I'll give to anybody tuning in now. You write down a statement of by when and what it looks like, and be specific. So you would want to say, for example, if you're looking for a job right now, you might want to say, "By July 30th, 2020, I have a job paying me $80,000 or more a year that I love going to work every day, and it's within 5 miles of my house." And then you write that, you put it up on your, maybe on your bathroom mirror, you keep it on your iPhone, and you declare it every single morning. First thing when you get up in the morning, you declare that statement of intent and turn it into a daily declaration. And you just made me think of that by talking about law of attraction stuff, because it is so powerful. And just like what Dr. Joe was talking about in his book, if we focus on 100 reasons why something won't work out, we're not going to be surprised. It won't work out. Okay, I had 100 reasons why it wasn't going to work out. What if you spent some time, you talked to a friend, a loved one, about 100 ways you could get that Oscar, 100 ways that you could have that dream job or fulfill your passion? What would life be like then?
I agree. I've done that my whole career. And that's why I mentioned sitting at home writing those letters when I was out of college pursuing acting, because it's not that I got a job from Jim Sheridan or Paula Wagner or Kevin Costner, but I manifested the energy, that fuel, because getting those meetings was pretty wow. And then when I had meetings with agents, they were like, "Oh my God, you got yourself those meetings." So they were the momentum I needed to build a career. So like you said, if we build it, they will come. The worst thing we can do for ourselves is sit in limbo and be undecided about where we want to live, what we want to do, how we want it to look or feel. Like, dream big enough that you believe your dream is attainable. Believe it. You know, I also do exactly what you do. I write it down. I sign it. I date it. I've done that since I was in college.
Me too.
And then you declare it with your friends or your, you know, pod of people, and you say, "This is what's going to happen next. And this is when it's going to happen. And I'm excited about that." And you do, you call it to you. But if you sit around and you say, "Not me," or "Maybe," or "I don't know," or "I'm not sure," you talk yourself out of it and you just end up paralyzed, not ever really going for the things that could change your life forever. We know a lot of examples of people who've changed their lives forever, indefinitely, by just being that decisive. I think about Shonda Rhimes all the time. I don't know her story intimately, but I know that she was not the powerful producer, filmmaker, TV, creator that she is years ago. And she, you know, is a leader in the entertainment industry. So anything is possible.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it all exists in our language. What we speak is what we get. And it's happened time and time again. And I think the greatest thing that we can do for one another during this time is to be accountable to one another for our speaking and our listening, and to actually, number one, take the time to listen to the people in your lives and not be doing something else. That's something I think we've all been flexing that muscle during this time period. And then once we listen, then notice what people are saying and hold one another accountable. If you hear friends saying, it's hard, I can't, it's not fair, you can absolutely have compassion for that person. And I always like to ask somebody, you know, I hear that. It sounds like it's been a really, really challenging time for you. Are you open to some feedback on that or hearing something different? And 100 out of 100 times, Liz, if somebody shifts that one phraseology that they're using, it's hard, I can't, et cetera, to, I don't know how it's going to show up, but by the end of this year, I'm going to be doing something entirely different that's going to bring me joy and fulfillment beyond my wildest dreams.
So to your point, you said, how does one sustain the quieter times in a career? And again, I do think everybody needs to, or all people should really determine what makes them happy. Not, I want to be like her because her life is so amazing, or, you know, what you see is not always what's happening. So you have to really only look at yourself and what truly makes your heart sing. And if for me, it's storytelling, okay, then I stick with that. And even during the quieter times, just know that the fact that it's authentic is going to keep driving me towards my purpose, my ultimate purpose, which is to get a job and to act. So in a quieter time, I watched Katie Couric one day, and David O. Russell was on it, and Bradley Cooper and Robert De Niro, they were all on the interview, and they had done a movie called Silver Lining Playbook. Mm-hmm. And I was in a really quiet time in my career then. I had already done Law and Order, and we'd been nominated for Emmys, and then my career kind of fell into a lull. A lull is an understatement. It was not doing great. It needed to be resuscitated. So I'm sitting there looking at these guys on Katie Couric, and I'm like, that's what I want. I want to do a movie with David O. Russell, because they were talking about mental health. Because if you've seen Silver Lining Playbook, it's a very powerful, powerful movie about that. And Bradley Cooper just rose, you know, to, I think, movie stardom for me. I mean, in that performance. And I thought, these guys, these artists, they're telling an important story and just not holding back. And they're so brave, and it's so relevant and important for people. Because again, just being successful at something is like, is that really that interesting? Not for me. So doing something that makes other people's lives better. So I think that's also an ingredient to add into like the mix of what we're, that the cake we're baking is like, and add then into it once you figure out what makes you happy. What can you do for others, right? I think when we're always thinking about how we can be of service, we kind of free our energy up even a lot more. And the three of them sitting there talking about that film, I realized they were of service to other people by telling that story. But they all three had a connection to mental health. And they were very vulnerable. It was very pure. And I just couldn't get them out of my mind. And then I tell you, within a month, I had an audition for American Hustle. David O. Russell's directing it. Bradley Cooper starring in it. Robert De Niro's doing a small part in it. And boom, there's a part to play. And I auditioned for it. And I got the movie. And then the relationship with those collaborators was so good that David offered me the next movie he made, which was Joy. But so it's okay to declare it, right? I've noticed sometimes when I actually say something out loud in the car, that's the thing that happens. Sometimes it does need to get out of you, like put it on paper or say it out loud to yourself. Take some ownership about it. And just to digress for one second, I do think that that's what's happening with all of the protests. I think people are taking ownership over their life and their destiny in the future. So I think it's necessary.
Wow, we couldn't be ending on a better note, Liz. I love the inspiration and your energy, and I'm so grateful that our mutual friend Goalie connected us. And
thank you, me too.
You never know who in the world might be tuning in now or in a future date. If people want to connect with you, what's the best way for people to follow you, to find out about your work and what you're up to?
You can go to my Instagram page, Elizabeth, Elisabeth, Rome, Rohm, at Instagram, and pretty much everything you'll need to know about me is there.
Awesome. That's wonderful, Liz. It's been so much fun. I feel like we'll have to have more of these chats, and I know we're going to do our mental health panel as well coming up.
I can't wait. And I look forward to hanging out with you in London. And for everybody that's here, be safe. Take care of yourself.
Yes, thank you so much, Liz. And thank you to LA Talk Radio for hosting us, you know, during this time. I know that there's been a lot of things going on in the world, and I really admire Sam, who runs the network, and his whole team over there who have showed up diligently. I remember there was a week or two ago when curfew was going on, and Sam said, Jen, I'm so sorry, you know, I can only be here until this hour. So, you know, thank you to all the people out there, all the frontline workers, and just everybody who's been out there doing the best that we all can in the midst of all of this. And on that note, I do invite people to check out one of the things that got birthed. It was right when you and I first originally had connected, Liz, was the Global Coherence Meditation. I was actually with Goalie the day, our mutual friend, the day it happened. And we now do every Monday at noon Pacific time on awaketvnetwork.live global meditations. And today was actually my vocal coach, Arthur Joseph, facilitated an incredible, incredible experience from beginning to end. It's all about our breath and owning our voice and owning our power. So you can actually go to awaketvnetwork.live and click on the Coalition for Global Unity link and find that meditation as well as the other ones that we've done. So invite everybody to check that out. And this week, actually, on Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific, I have Reverend Julie Morette sharing about her book, What's Your What? And that'll be at 7 a.m. on awaketvnetwork.live. So thank you so much for everybody's support out there. Thank you, Liz. And thank you to Goalie, who connected us.
Yeah, thank you, Goalie.
All right. Lots of love, guys. Be well.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.